Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This out there now from The Athletic, that the Mike Vrabel interview with the Jets is happening today.
Okay.
So they did Ron Rivera and Louis Riddick for the GM opening yesterday. Rivera, of course, for the head coaching opening. So you've got Vrabel coming to Florham Park to visit with the Jets today.
So here, now we got to think about Mix. So Mike Vrabel as the head coach, who would be the GM? I still think you got to hire the GM first and make sure that whoever that person is can work with whoever the head coach is.
And or if it's Vrabel, they say, who do you want as the GM? And we'll Robinson. Bring that guy in.
He may want to go back and work with Robinson, who he worked with down in Tennessee.
Did they end on good?
It was an interesting thing. A lot of people were shocked that he was fired. I was telling you, I was telling Gio yesterday, I talked to Frank Reich, who was, you know, Indianapolis, so he had to go against Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he said, man, those teams were always buttoned up. Those teams were always tough to play against, and he is a really good coach.
Yeah.
And he does command the locker room, and he's a guy that can change the culture. He could walk right in there. Guys would look at him. They know he's got the Super Bowl rings, the whole bit.
I'd be really impressed if the Jets were able to land him.
I agree.
I would be very, very impressed.
He's got to be the number one guy on a lot of boards, maybe with the exception of Ben Johnson for maybe like Jacksonville or Chicago.
Yeah, but then again, he didn't get a job last year, Vrabel.
Yeah, but was that because it wasn't available? Or because he decided, like, I know he lost out to Harbaugh with the Chargers.
Yeah.
But were there other teams maybe said, you know
sometimes
what?
Sometimes it's better to sit out. And he actually did work with the Browns this year. But it's probably better sometimes to sit out and just kind of take a big look at the league and see what's going on and then really assess what's happening. Look, the Jets have a good roster. They just don't have an answer at quarterback right now for the immediate future.
And Vrabel's kind of used to that down in Tennessee. Well, Ryan Tannehill was okay.
He may go in there and say, look, I'd like to have Aaron Rodgers back. I don't know. But it seems like, to me, the relationship between Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers seems like it's in a weird spot.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Bad spot.
Yeah. It's just he's not coming back.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Like, if Vrabel's looking to come in and put his stamp on the culture, like a shotgun marriage with Aaron Rodgers at the end of his career doesn't seem like a good way to do that.
Coach still wants to win. He still wants to win. And every coach that takes a job in the NFL knows how important it is. All you have to do is listen to Brian Daboll's press conference after they beat the Colts, how important it is to have a quarterback that you can believe in.
So you referenced Vrabel with the Browns. So Zach Rosenblatt from The Athletic's the one that put out the news this morning about he's interviewing with the Jets today. And here's another piece from The Athletic, which this is interesting to me. He writes, over the last 5 months, I spent extensive time with Vrabel as he worked with the Browns. He reflected on his Titans tenure, opened up about what he wants next inside his gap year, in quotes. There's a big expansive piece here. I haven't had a chance to sift through it yet, but on the morning that I guess he gets this little nugget that he's going to interview with the Jets, they've got this piece about what Vrabel's been up to in this off year.
Because Todd Downing worked with him.
That's right.
He was his offensive coordinator, and then, you know, he came here to the Jets after they got fired down there in Tennessee.
I think Todd Downing's like, you don't want to come here. Hey, Mike.
I would think that Todd Downing would be talking. I'm assuming they have a very good relationship, but these coaches know. They know what's going on.
All right. Here's a refresher from yesterday. I did play this Brian Daboll cut talking about offensive coordinator Mike Kafka.
Mike's been a great teammate, good coach, good friend. Does a good job for us.
You want him back next year?
Yeah, he does a good job for us. So we're focused on the Eagles here, guys.
All right, so he was like non-committal there, similar to how he, if I recall correctly, how he handled Wink Martindale at the end of last year. So now Kafka meets the media yesterday and decided to preempt anything related to that, which I thought was a little strange.
You guys had some questions of Dave's about like my future and all that stuff, so I just wanted to address it really quick. Obviously, I love being here. I love working for Dave's and everybody. And so, you know, my only focus really is just on Philadelphia, the coaches, the players, and getting ready to play a great game and build on what we did last week.
Like, are we really that focused on the Mike Kafka situation?
But that's all they were going to ask him about.
Okay.
So he just wanted to get ahead of it and go, yeah, I just told you what I had to say.
All right.
Because there's nothing else to ask Mike Kafka about. Tyrone Tracy's rushing attempts.
I get that. But it's just like, okay, so what if they ask you about your future? Like, what's the big deal? I don't know. It just was the way that they both handled it was, I don't know. It just seemed kind of
from a guy who ran right to Twitter to talk about his future at WFAN.
Oh. Yes.
And you say, what's the big deal? And there's a bunch of reporters around you egging you on and trying to get you to have a quote about your future. I mean, it's easy for you to say, right?
Fair enough.
Okay.
I'm not even going to push back.
What would have happened if there were a bunch of reporters that day which you went with the in your face asking those questions, huh? What do you mean, what's the big deal? It's your life. When it's your life, it's a big deal.
I don't think those are a direct comparison, if I'm being fair.
But it's easy to say, what's the big deal when it's not your life?
What I'm saying your is, job. Like, if they were going to, like, the fact that he... Let me get out in front of this like it's some big story they're trying to manage.
Well, you
that's
got
what
out
I'm
in
saying.
Front of it,
right? Yeah.
When you were posting that, were you crying?
No, I was not.
Like how many people probably
there was steam coming out of right. my ears? I was angry.
I felt emotion.
I spoke to both of you that day.
Yes.
I did speak to you on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and to be clear, you did not encourage me to do that. Quite the opposite, actually.
No, exactly.
But how many people read that post and was like, what's the big deal here? Why do you feel like you need to address this on social media?
I'm sure a lot of people felt that way.
So, but the point being, for Mike Kafka, like, nobody's really even talked about him.
Yeah.
Nobody has said anything.
That's what
the
I'm
only
saying.
Thing that really ever came out of any of this was that Brian Daboll was calling plays.
Right, yeah.
Mike Kafka was still doing his job. His job was to coordinate the offense, and I'm sure he and Daboll were talking constantly during the games, during, you know, in between series, what's working, what's not working, what are they doing, how do we have to attack certain things. I mean, Kafka was still very much involved,
sure.
And if they stay here, we'll still be here.
And Vrabel did say yesterday.
He's been a very loyal employee.
Yeah, I don't think he will be here if they stay here.
So that's your, based on those two bites, that's your takeaway, mm-hmm. Yes? So
yeah.
That's what I mean. Like it's like they were dancing around a little bit.
So maybe Mike Kafka wants to go somewhere else. Maybe he wants to go, maybe he has an offer to go somewhere.
Somewhere he can call plays, perhaps.
Maybe. Maybe college. Who knows?
Maybe.
And that guy, Nevitt Shapiro, already told us that the Miami offensive coordinator was going to be here with Cam Ward.
That's right.
Right. And Deion said that Shedeur Sanders was going to be here, too. Yeah, so who's right?
Did he?
Yeah.
I can't. They've all said. The Giants
have the number one pick. They're taking Shedeur. That's what he said.
Well, that's if.
I think his point was whoever has the number one pick is taking Shedeur.
Yeah.
That's what he was getting at. Here's our guy, Mike Tomlin, ahead of Saturday night's AFC North showdown with the Bengals. Playoff implications for both teams, of course.
Certainly, they're a motivated group trying to play their way into this tournament. But certainly, we're a motivated group, to be quite honest with you. We got to get the stench of the last few performances off of us.
Yeah, smelly three-game skid against playoff-bound teams, Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. So let's see if they can get that squared away here coming up against
Don't need a half-ass effort. We need the whole ass. That was the best. The whole ass.
They better get George Pickens and Russell Wilson the whole ass on the same page.
I mean, this is what I mean about Russell Wilson, though, because he just teammates...
Don't like him.
No matter where he goes. And like George Pickens is the exact type of guy who ain't going to like him.
Right. And because won't have a problem saying that essentially out loud.
Because Russell just comes across as not one of the guys. He seems like he's a phony. He's a celebrity who's not, you know, shoulder to shoulder in a locker room with them. And this is like the least shocking thing ever. That they're not on the same page.
Not great timing for it, though.
I mean, they're like 300 pages apart.
Well, if you heard that clip last hour, it seemed like news to George Pickens. Because he was even thinking the reporter was trying to, you know, insert his own opinion in there. He's like, no, that's what Russell said. Oh, okay, that's the end of my media session. Coaching carousel obviously starting to heat up. Who's interviewing? Who's going where? Who's a good fit with a certain team or quarterback? Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury obviously having a nice year with rookie Jaden Daniels, which leads to the obvious question. Cliff, are you interested in being a head coach again?
Yeah, I'm sure at some point. Yeah, at some point.
And then there's sort of an awkward silence before the reporter follows up, and you even hear Kingsbury kind of chuckle at the beginning of this one, almost like, of course, how could I not be?
Do you plan to interview for jobs this year?
I won't comment on that, but we'll see how everything plays out, but I'm very happy here. Yeah, this has been an awesome place and has really helped me kind of rekindle my love for the sport.
Seems like a strong yes.
Rekindle my love for the sport.
That's right.
It's amazing what a quarterback does for a
everybody.
Guy.
For everybody.
I mean, like Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers, you know, the fact that he just climbed on his back and rode him to the Kentucky Derby win. You know, Adam Gase and Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, Like, God. Cliff Kingsbury could not have been in a lower spot when he got fired by the Cardinals. People said he ran this loose program. He had no control over anybody. DeAndre Hopkins basically quit on him. Kyler Murray hated him. It was the worst, right? The team would quit on him every year. They'd get off to a good start, and then they'd quit, and they'd fall apart. The second he gets fired, he's posting pictures of his girlfriend's ass cheeks on a beach. Remember this? It was like Cliff Kingsbury does not give an F. About anything.
He was winning there.
And then all of a sudden, he gets back here with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels has made him into this head coaching candidate again. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Aaron Rodgers said he's got to go put his feet in the sand. Cliff Kingsbury was doing something else in the sand.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you two clips. One is Aaron Rodgers. The other is Jeff Olbrich. The Rodgers one's pretty quick. And I want you guys to decide which is the worst as far as... To me, lying through their teeth.
Or right? being disingenuous.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not, but this was number one. Rodgers asked to sum up his time with the Jets here.
Gratitude, honestly. Oh, it's been the best 2 years of my life.
Short and to the point. Best 2 years of his life is what he claims. Okay, so we've got that. And then this was Jeff Olbrich the other day asked about Hassan Reddick's time with the Jets.
I feel just so honored to have coached him and been around him. This guy is willing to do whatever it takes. He's one of the most unselfish players I've been around. And you just never know what you're going to get when you get guys of his caliber, you know, and sometimes they can be selfish in some ways. And there's none of that to this man.
This is a guy that's sat out half the year.
Yeah. Not selfish at all.
And even when he's not sat out, he's done next to nothing.
That's a bad take on Hassan. And maybe he is internally a good guy. Maybe they like him. Maybe he's good on the practice field. But at the end of the day, his performance on the field says all you need to know.
He's got 9 games. He has 8 solo tackles, 11 total, and half a sack.
Right. So
he's honored to have coached him.
Yeah.
It's definitely Olbrich is worse because I can halfway believe Aaron Rodgers. Because of all the other things he's into.
He said life, not career. I think that's the key.
Yeah. All, you know, with Egypt and the ayahuasca and the darkness and the everything else. So
you got the documentary, you got Inside the Hard Knocks, you got all the
McAfee show,
stuff that has become, you know, part and parcel of his life and his, you know, his wealth. So I can believe Aaron saying that. It's just unfortunate that he blew out his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yes, it was. By the way, the Jets in their season finale against the Dolphins will use their 5th kicker of the season as Greg Zuerlein came back from IR and then had some sort of back issue Sunday in Buffalo, so he's out again. So Greg Joseph will handle the kicking duties if you're into Week 18 and the Jets at home against the Dolphins, who are still alive, be fair, right? Depending on what the Broncos do at the same time in their Week 18 game. Now,
is Tua playing this week?
You know, I don't know the answer to that yet.
Leaning no.
Oh.
Leaning no, okay. What's wrong with him now?
Hip. Really?
Is it the hip that he had surgically repaired when he came out of Alabama?
That I do not know.
Wow. Because and they're playing at the same time as the Broncos,
correct.
So it's not 4:25. Like they're going to know. Wow. All right. That's significant, I would say. You guys talked earlier about T. Higgins and his status with the Bengals and, you know, probably headed elsewhere in free agency, it feels like, at this point. So Joe Burrow, I think yesterday, had some thoughts, kind of in general, but seemed like maybe a little bit of a message sent to the organization.
Whenever a great player leaves, you wish you could have found a way to keep him. You don't want to make a living out of letting great players leave the building. You know, I think that's why you got to do everything you can to get those deals done early.
Which they obviously...
Joe Barrow!
And then he had the big game and the overtime win Saturday.
T. Higgins is playing under the franchise tag right now.
I guess they could tag him again, right?
Yeah, but, you know, that would suck for him.
Of course it would.
Because much like I was saying in regards to Brock Purdy, these guys have... And T. has been injured, to be fair. Mm-hmm. He has been injured. But when he's played, he's been a big part of their success when they're going. And they're going as good as anybody has ever gone in the NFL their last 9 weeks. They have been off the charts offensively, and he's been a big part of that. And that's why Joe feels that way. But, you know, in all honesty, if Ja'Marr Chase should be and will be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL who plays on the same team and is probably going to get a 4-year, I would say, $160 million contract, meaning 40 per, and Joe Burrow's making 55 per, there's no room for a guy like that. Now, if you told me they were going to add Davante Adams at $10 million, I'd say that would be a hell of a signing for them.
Yeah, they're going to have to either do that or draft a guy. They can't keep him.
They got to rebuild their defense, too. That's the other part. It's the other part of it. And Joe Burrow is so good that they were able to use Chase Brown instead of Joe Mixon. And they saved almost $4.5 million between what Mixon got from Houston and what Chase Brown is playing for the Bengals. But what they missed with Mixon is they missed that veteran personality and presence in the locker room.
Sure.
But, you know, he's going to the playoffs this year, and the Bengals may not.
Gio, a guy you've spoken about quite a bit in recent weeks, Boomer as well. So NFL Network's Tom Pelissero said a number of teams are doing extensive homework on John Gruden and to keep an eye on him as this coaching cycle heats up. Jets-wise, Ron.
I mean, okay, you need ahead. To do extensive homework on him. He's out there every single day. He's had a long career. You know, everybody knows everything about him. And if he walked into your building, you wouldn't want him to leave. And that, I bet you owners are scared of that, too. Because, like, the second, they don't want to like him. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to have to answer the questions about it. And they're scared.
You're going to have to deal with a month of questioning all the emails and all that other
that's
stuff.
What
then you'll get over it, and then he'll coach football, and he'll move on.
Yeah, right, exactly. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody looks at it like that, or everybody looks at it like that. You know, they'd rather have the next coordinator. They'd rather have that guy to be able to control, and it's a mistake. And I don't know if this team, this 33rd team, is tossed Gruden out to Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson. If they haven't, it's a disgrace. Because that is the exact guy you need. The fact that he's available and back in the mix now.
I wouldn't say disgrace. I would just say a mistake. It would be a mistake for them not to interview him. Like, because there's a chance. Like, again, I think Mike Vrabel's number one on the list. Ben Johnson, for certain other teams, may be number one on their list. Just specifically because it's quarterback-driven teams like Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence. If they decide to move on from Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke down there in Jacksonville, that's a whole other set of circumstances. But here in New York, especially for the Jets, they've got to have a guy that when he walks into that building is going to change. It's got to change.
Mm-hmm. And he's like about the only guy that could do it. Not Vrabel, maybe.
I think Vrabel,
well,
and I think Brian Flores could do it.
Yeah.
I think those three guys. I don't think it's bringing back Pete Carroll. I don't think it's Bill O'Brien. I think it's one of those three guys would be the guy that hopefully could work with whoever they decide is going to be their GM. That's another aspect here in terms of the relationship between ownership and who is running the team. And hopefully whoever the GM is going to be, that GM is going to be able to work with a very, I would say, headstrong head coach. Because that's what it's going to be. And that GM needs to go in the background and let the head coach, you know, basically set the course for the team.
You brought up the Jaguars possibly cleaning house.
Yes.
I saw something a couple days ago from this guy, Chad Forbes, who kind of covers the league a little. He's got like over 20,000 followers. I don't know how tapped in he is or what he knows, but I had not seen this. He said Ben Johnson to the Jaguars is the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Yep,
he thinks it's a done deal and that he'll bring one of the Lions executives
I don't know
or
who this
pick
guy
his own
is.
GM.
Yeah, well, I don't know who this guy is, but you know, like I keep saying, Ben Johnson's personality does not fit here. It may fit in Chicago. It certainly would fit in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, he's also not going to pick the Jets.
If he
that's the bigger thing. You know, I mean, the Jets should hire, if he wanted the job, I would hire him in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But
what did Dan Campbell do when he first got to Detroit? They traded Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff. So Jared Goff is in the mindset of most is like, oh, this is a stopgap guy. And they got off to a really bad start.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Campbell stood with Jared Goff and they built around them. They drafted Penny Sewell. They drafted Aiden Hutchinson. You know, they had Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. And they added another couple offensive linemen. I mean, and look what they have with what many people thought was a quarterback that wasn't all that great. He's having a great season. He's locked in with Dan Campbell. And that's why I was saying that maybe Brian Flores and Sam Darnold as a package deal with Josh McCown as his quarterback coach becoming the OC going to another franchise that needs a quarterback head coach and an offensive coordinator.
We got Ron Rivera interviewing today for the Jet job, so there's that.
All right. We love Ron. Well, I don't want to see him be the Jet head coach.
Right, nice guy.
But we love Ron. Yeah. Ron's one of the nicest guys in football that I have ever met.
Riverboat Ron.
That's right.
And when he sat down with us for multiple Super Bowls during the years, he could not have been more respectful, treats everybody the same. Just a great, great guy.
Which Al referenced this morning on the warm-up show.
No, he did.
I
missed that part.
Some of the worst Super Bowl shows ever.
Could you see Ron Rivera if in fact he has a good interview and everybody feels good about it, could you see him as the Bears head coach?
Well, he's got ties there, of course. As
former player.
Better have the right offensive coordinator there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it really comes down to, is that. Like, who's the guy dealing with Caleb Williams? They're going to go with an offensive head coach. They just
left Kingsbury?
That's where I thought Ben Johnson was going. He had that grin on his face a couple weeks ago when they were getting ready to play the Bears. Everyone kind of read into that. I don't know.
Yeah, again, you would think that Jacksonville or Chicago is where he's going.
Yeah.
The Jets, by the way, in that game against Buffalo, if you want to talk about a pack-it-up spot, I mean, whew, even Sauce Gardner said it. He said it after the game. We got some guys checked out. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. This has got to be the worst season in their history, and that's saying a lot.
I did see something on Instagram that I didn't know goes on. I know this never happened way back when in the dark ages when I played, but the Jets come out with their own boombox.
Oh, I mean, they could not be more embarrassing.
And then you got Josh Allen standing there watching this from behind him. I mean, he's just thinking to himself, we're going to kick these guys' ass.
It was so embarrassing.
Yes.
So with the Jets theme boombox, they're playing Gangster's Paradise from Coolio and go out there and get their asses whipped. I mean, you could not be more of an embarrassing franchise.
Right. So, and it's I think it's a foregone conclusion that neither Devontae Adams or Aaron Rodgers will be back here next year, no matter who the coach is.
Finally. At least some people have come to their senses on that one. And see you later, Aaron Rodgers. Enough is enough. I mean, it's sad the way it worked out. It was tough. You could not bring this guy back. There's just no way. You can't do it. Now, there'll be people that'll say, well, you're going to find a guy next year that's better than Aaron Rodgers or what he could do. That's not even the question right now. He is more of a symbol than anything. And he came in here and he infected the franchise even worse than they were infected. They tried to be a drug that cured him and ended up being something that made their symptoms worse. And he's got to go. He's got to go. You got to start this whole thing fresh, over with, new GM, new head coach. And we're starting to see some of these things that are coming out. So the Jets were getting crushed publicly because they interviewed Ron Rivera without having a general manager in place, which I can understand why people are criticizing that. I just don't know what they have done as far as GM candidate interviews and how far along they are. But
yeah,
like they can't be. They're not going to hire a head coach before they hire a general manager, are they?
For me personally, I would get moving as quickly as possible. Unless there's somebody that you've identified on some staff out there that you feel like you really, really want to interview. And let's say, because he played here and he was a very popular player, he was a teammate of mine when he was a rookie, his name's Aaron Glenn. So Aaron Glenn is going to get a lot of looks. Everybody's going to want to talk to him. He's highly respected in the league. I don't know if what he wants to bring back one of his own guys. Who knows? But if they are looking for a former head coach, they got to get their ass in gear. I mean, and one of those guys is going to be Brian Flores. But again, he's only going to have a small window to do some interviews before he gets going. And depending on whether or not they have the one seed or the two seed, it's going to depend on when he's available for an interview.
It's going to be a one seed or the five seed.
I mean, a one seed or the five seed, right. Meaning that he's playing that first week, wild card weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if I had to rank the Jet now, here's the other thorn, or you want to throw a little monkey wrench into this whole thing. So to me, the most coveted guy out there who has past head coaching experience is got to be Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be the number one guy out there. Number two on that list, for me anyway, is Brian Flores, no matter what happened with him down in Miami and Tua. I don't care. Doesn't matter. By the way, I don't want my quarterback's feelings to be hurt. And I don't really care. If the quarterback's feelings are hurt, then he shouldn't be my quarterback. I need a quarterback that's going to have a spine and that's going to put up with, being coached tough and have a coach that's going to be in your face and expect a lot out of you. So Brian Flores is number two, would be on my list of past head coaches that should be interviewed or should get jobs, just based on the fact that they've already done it before and they know what they're running themselves into. And that's why I said, let's say you're New Orleans and you want a new quarterback and coach tandem, why wouldn't you go after Brian Flores and Sam Darnold together?
Yeah. No, and I've mentioned before, you could do a heck of a lot worse.
All right, here's the monkey wrench.
Yeah.
We don't know what the Patriots are doing with Gerard Mayo. If Gerard Mayo is fired, the number one candidate for the Patriots will be Mike Vrabel.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
And I've already seen
that. And if you are Mike Vrabel,
yeah,
who would you rather work for? A team that has a rising quarterback in Drake May and an ownership that loves you, puts you in their Hall of Fame when you were the Titans head coach.
Right.
And you sat in his box and you watched the game. Wouldn't you, if you were Bob Kraft, want Mike Vrabel as your next head coach? If, in fact, you think that Gerard Mayo's in over his head.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, I also...
And if you're Mike Vrabel, which job would you want?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously. Over what? The New Orleans or the Jets or, I mean, anything. The Bears. I mean, I would take the Patriots job in a heartbeat.
If you're Vrabel.
Yeah. I think most of them. I mean, the Bears situation and the way that they look at their owner, too,
That's Ben Johnson. Got written Ben Johnson all over it.
Yeah. They're getting a little too cute out there, man, with their stuff. I'm getting tired of them.
I know you are. You got a bias there.
Everybody with the tongue bath, with the Ben Johnson stuff and the hook and ladder, like we'd never seen that before. It's a hook and ladder. Everybody did that when they were a kid.
I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You did it when you played.
By the way,
it's like if people saw it.
And by the way, that fall down fake thing?
Yeah.
Did that too?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but Ben Johnson's, I mean, this guy's a genius. No one's doing this type of stuff.
People don't remember those things.
Yeah, no one's doing this type of stuff. Stop.
Yeah, but I give Ben Johnson credit. His team is flawless on offense, man. They're great. Yeah,
flawless. Okay.
I give Kevin O'Connell the same. He's right there on par with Kevin O'Connell.
All right.
But I just don't think that he's got a New York personality.
Who, Ben Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Plus, he would never come. The guy that coveted, come to the Jets.
That's why the Bears or the Jacksonville Jaguars, if they decide to move on from Doug Peterson, makes the most sense for me, yeah, for him. And I think if I'm the Cowboys, I got to give Mike McCarthy a 3-year contract extension.
Oh! Yeah. All right. That'd be fun. 3-year contract extension. People would call him for his head 6 games into next year.
Yeah, but who do you want them to hire? Like
Deion Sanders.
No way. It's not happening.
That's what I want. You asked me who I want him to hire.
I know, but it's not going to. Why? Because.
Because it'd be great.
I just don't think Jerry Jones wants somebody as a bigger personality. Because Jerry wants to be the one talking after the games.
I mean, he hired Parcells. He was a bigger personality.
Yeah, but that didn't last very long.
But he still did it.
Yeah, but then they went to Jason Garrett.
Sure.
And yeah, then he went to Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And both of those guys had to basically line up and just realize that Jerry's giving the comments after the games.
But Wade Phillips in there too, right?
Well, another guy that, yeah, you know, had gone through that organization that was not going to ruffle any feathers, and they were going to let Jerry be Jerry, the face of the Cowboys.
By the way, the Vikings offensive coordinator is Wes Phillips, who is Wade's son.
Who's the quarterback coach?
Josh McCown.
Right.
So those two
I think
guys.
Josh McCown's ready to start calling plays. Let's
you
go.
You think so?
Bring him, Sam Darnold, and Brian Flores to a team.
You're raiding my team, man, before the season's over. Let the season end first?
Seems pretty simple to me.
All right, but we're in Geo.
But not for the Jets. That trio, not for the Jets. Maybe Brian Flores for the Jets.
Who is for the Jets?
We've said it. Vrabel, Flores, Gruden.
All right.
And you know.
Well, just said that Flores and the Darnold thing and everything.
Yeah, but not again. Everything is variables. So if you told me Flores, Darnold to New Orleans, I could see that.
But you
with Josh McCown, I could see that threesome going down because there are really good offensive players there. And taking that Minnesota Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offense and taking it down to New Orleans along with Brian Flores' defense, I could see that.
Do you think there's any chance? Because every year there's something that's shocking happens. Think there's any chance that this thing in San Francisco is dried up and Kyle Shanahan wants to go somewhere else and an owner does something crazy and trades for him or something like that?
I don't see that. I mean, I don't.
They did, and the reason I think about that is what they did back in the day with Jim Harbaugh and Jim Tom Sula and things were going well and they did something crazy.
I mean, they had so many injuries this year.
They got so many injuries every year.
Yeah, but no, this year in particular, you know, they lost Nick Bosa for quite some time. They obviously lost Christian McCaffrey.
It was a year, a couple
Brandon
years ago.
Brandon Ayuk is gone. I mean, they lost a lot of really top players.
No, I know. But a few years ago, same thing happened. Remember when they lost all those guys at MetLife Stadium?
Problem they're going to have now is that they have to pay Brock Purdy. And the question is, how much?
How much?
He's already given you 2 years of at least a $50 million performance, and he was playing for nothing.
The Joe Beningo Football Monday call-in is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here, and by Approved Oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com, and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Joe B in his weekly spot after a Jet loss in Buffalo. Yeah. Joe, how you doing?
Well, I would call it humiliation. By the way, on my New Year's Eve is Penn State Boise. That's it. I'm ready to go.
I can't wait.
Who do you like, though, Joe?
I think it's a huge game for James Franklin and Penn State.
They have to win this game.
I mean, look at it. You know what? You got a big break playing SMU. You could have very easily been playing Alabama. And, you know, you got to beat Boise. I'm sorry. You got to win this game. Yeah. You got to get to the Final Four. After that, I think he's okay, because I don't think they're going to win the championship, but I think this is a must-win for Penn State.
And it's going to be a big showcase for Ashton Jeanty as well, see if he runs all over the place like this. Yep. Yeah, 11.5 points, a lot of points, too. I think big I might number. Be on Boise plus the points.
I would take Boise into points.
Yeah. Nice. But either way, the beauty of that game, New Year's Eve, Joe, 7:30 start, so you should be done by 11 o'clock, which gives you the hour to do whatever you got to do, Ryan Seacrest on the whole nine yards.
I'll probably be in bed after the game.
So you don't make it to midnight on New Year's Eve anymore, Joe?
I don't know when the last time I did, to be honest. Honest with you. I have to ask my wife that.
I don't remember midnight. The only time I remember midnight, you remember I went to New Zealand?
Yeah.
I don't know if you are aware of this, Joe, but a couple years ago, I officiated a wedding in New Zealand.
You officiated a wedding in New Zealand?
Look, they were already married, but whatever. I went to New Zealand to officiate this wedding, but it was over New Year's.
Right.
And so I came back on New Year's Eve.
You were on the plane at midnight?
No, I got home and walked in the door like 3 minutes before midnight.
Oh, wow.
So I got to hug my kids. I think that was the last time I made it to midnight.
That's perfect timing.
Right, it was great timing. It was miserable because
They'd have to knock me out. They'd have to absolutely knock me out for hours to fly to New Zealand.
Like,
God bless you.
It's like 15 hours, man. And it was miserable coming home, but whatever.
Well, how could you not?
I made it to kiss the bride at New Year. So I'm with you, Joe. I don't generally crave to stay up for New Year's.
Those days are long over. You know, it was humiliation yesterday. I mean, that was rock bottom. You know, here's the bottom line with my wonderful football franchise that I love so much and hate so much at the same time. They are now the worst franchise in professional sports. You know, for 20 years, it was the Knickerbockers, right? The Knicks for 20 years was the worst franchise in professional sports. Jim Dolan was the worst owner. Now it's the Jets and Woody Johnson. And they have got to get this GM head coaching situation right. There is no gray area here. They have to get it right because I can't take it anymore, Teak. You know, I'm at the point now.
Are you done with Aaron?
No, I'm not, but I'll put it this way. I'm not. He stunk yesterday.
Yeah,
but
he did.
He was terrible, but I mean, they were brutal. 16 penalties. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't get a yard on 4th-and-1. I mean, you know, we could go on and on.
Right.
You know, it's brutal. But the bottom line is this, okay? I want Rodgers back, but I'm at the point now where if everybody goes, I don't even care because it's so important to change. You know, I hate the word culture. I like to use the word karma.
Right.
It's so important to change the karma of this franchise. I mean, it's Atiki, 56 years without a Super Bowl appearance, 14 years without the playoffs, 9 years without a winning season, 5 straight 10-plus losing seasons. How much can I take anymore?
Right, and all those years not making the playoffs, it just gets frustrating and I don't know, discouraging.
Like
you almost can't even go into the season, even if you do good things in the offseason, feeling optimistic about it, until you actually do it. Now, I know there were some years back, you know, we back-to-back AFC Championship games. We all know that. But that was because you had a coach in Rex who was, I don't know, different. Right? He was different than the mold. He was
And they're interviewing right. him again.
I know.
That's why
I bring that up, because they're interviewing him. Yep. They're interviewing Ron Rivera.
I'm not high on him. But
you know what? He's a good remaker of bad situations. You know what I mean? That's what he was tasked to do in Carolina. That's what he was tasked to do in Washington. He had some level of success, not ultimate success, but I mean, I still feel like those two interviews aren't like super inspiring.
Well, I'm down on Rex, so I'm big on Rex, man. As far as I'm concerned, next to Weeb Eubank, who won me a championship a million years ago, he's the best coach we ever had.
And embrace being a Jet, too.
And he wants to coach the team. It's so important to me, Teague, that he wants this job. And he has something to prove. And I don't know if he's going to get the job, but he has something to prove now. He's got a major chip on his shoulder. Let's be honest about it. I'm down with Rex, man.
I'm just a little surprised, though, too, with this with Rex. Doesn't it feel like he's, you know, groveling, begging a little too much that it comes across as like...
Oh, he's been out for a long time, though.
He seems almost too desperate.
But he's been out for a long time.
I don't even care about that. You know, who cares? You know what? I will do a dance if Rex is the coach. Now,
when was the last time this happened, Joe? Do you have a history of this? Not with the Jets. Just in any NFL team.
A coach coming at Kibbs?
Gibbs
and Dick Vermeil came back, but not to the same team.
Yeah, that's what I mean, to the same team. So Gibbs is the only one, right?
Right.
That's the only one I can think of.
It's very rare.
But this is where Rex is going to have the benefit. How many people are banging down the door to get the Jet job? And Joe, I'm curious whether it's Rex, you know, whoever. After seeing what you saw from Rodgers, hear the report Saturday, Garrett Wilson, you know, he may ask out of Rodgers here. You know, it just feels like, and I don't think it's all Rodgers' fault this year. Statistically, he's been fine. I just don't know how you could move forward with a new coach and new GM and still have kind of the Rodgers aura hanging over this whole thing.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, like I said, Sean, at this point now, it's about the organization. It's about getting a general manager and head coach in here that are going to be on the same page. There has to be accountability with this team, because there absolutely is no accountability. It's a joke with all these penalties. It makes you absolutely crazy. You know, that has to change. I mean, the discipline is beyond it's beyond the pale. This is it. I mean, you know, I don't want another. I've said this over and over. I don't want another first-time coordinator. You know, that guy will be gone in 3 years. I mean, I we never find Sean McVay. We never find Kevin O'Connell.
Right.
You know, we never find these guys. You know, Kyle Shanahan. We don't get these guys. You know, you need a guy. I think you need a guy that understands the situation here. And that's why I so like Rex. Look, I love Mike Vrabel. I would be happy with Mike Vrabel. You know, I love Brian Flores.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, Brian Flores needs to be interviewed, okay? As much as I love Rex, interview this guy. I think you can do a virtual interview with him?
Yeah, but
before the playoffs, Tiki?
Yeah, while it's still going on, but you can't. It gets really complicated.
Well, and if the Vikings win, don't you have that bye week ability?
The bye week.
So you might be if you want to talk to Flores, you might be rooting for a Viking win.
Well, they might wind up with the number one seed, which I guess you could talk to him at that point, right?
Yeah. That's correct. But again, is he going to want to disrupt his, planning for whatever? Who knows?
Who knows? I'm sure he wants to be a head coach again.
Of course he does. And hopefully he learns from his, let's call them mistakes, because some of them were actual mistakes that he made in his stint in Miami. But, whether it's Brian Flores, whether it's Rex, ultimately, you're right. It comes down to hiring that young coordinator, that mind. Who can,
as far as running the offense,
can bring you into the modern NFL? Because all the teams that are having success, that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't see any of these. Oh yeah, we're just going to run it, 35 times a game, and play action pass. That's not working in the NFL anymore. So to me, the bigger hire is the OC, and then who's the and who is your quarterback? Those are the two biggest things.
Let me ask you this. I'll ask you this, both of you guys. By the way, nice job. I was watching a lot of your game yesterday, Teague. The weather was just lovely in Cleveland. I was actually rooting for Miami, because this game means something for Miami. And the only thing I can ask now, can my team beat them and knock them out of the playoffs? would give me something. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
That would give me something. They should have beat them in Miami. Can we stick it to this? I can't stand Mike McDaniel. I hate him. I shouldn't say hate. It's a bad word.
He's an interesting man.
Oh,
we met with him on Saturday.
Is Tua playing Sunday? By the way,
I don't know. This popped up to us the day we were meeting with them, or right before we were meeting with them. The Tua was downgraded to doubtful because that hip from college just had some, like, I don't know where and. It came out of nowhere.
Tua is like the rest of us. Weather changes, you get arthritis and the old injuries.
Please, you don't even know, Sean. Forget about it. You guys are young.
Right.
My ankle hurts every time it rains, Joe.
Wait till you hit 71, Sean. Right. Please. Let me tell you.
But I got to tell you, Joe, Tyler Huntley was pretty good.
He's a good backup.
Yes.
He was a good backup in Baltimore as well.
Right.
So I'm not surprised by that. Now, you know, he could certainly win with him. But I'd love to stick it to Miami. With that said, if it's not Rodgers, who's my quarterback? Are we going to go with
Taylor?
The problem with him, and I'm not saying you can't win games with him. The problem with Tyrod Taylor is he will get hurt at some point during
the year. No, I agree with that.
He always does. Do you bring in Justin Fields, you know? Do you bring him in? I mean, Sam Darnold, I just don't buy is leaving Minnesota.
I agree with you. We talked about that earlier. It doesn't make sense for Minnesota to let him go anywhere. We were just looking at these free agent quarterbacks, and there's a couple of them, but not a lot of them are appealing, especially these guys get older, right? Some of these guys are so old, it just doesn't make any sense to bring them in just because you're looking for a bridge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I might as well keep Rodgers if I'm doing that.
And that's what we talked about last week. It's like, what is the better option? And there aren't a ton of them.
But let me say this. If a veteran coach takes over here, let's say we bring in Rex, or let's say we bring in Vrabel. I'm just using those two guys. You know, by the way, a name, I had Brian Costello on my Saturday show.
I heard this.
Matt Nagy, he mentioned.
Yeah, Nagy.
Now, the only plus for Matt Nagy to me is that he has coached in a head coach in the league. He did go to the playoffs a couple times.
Yep.
Yeah. And he did it with Mitch Trubisky, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
He did.
That is saying now, and now he's in Kansas City. So, you know,
back where he was originally.
Right. So I'm not completely against him. I'm still kind of marinating him in my mind.
Right. Yeah. It would be uninspiring, but it may not be the worst thing.
Right.
But again, a second time head coach who probably learned from his previous stint in Chicago. And by the way, Chicago was a bad organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no doubt about it.
But if it has to be a guy that's coached in the league before.
So Joe, I think the guy that not enough people are talking about, to me, Kingsbury.
I don't like Kingsbury.
Did he do anything
in Arizona?
He had the rookie of the year. That was about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it faded really quickly.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Kingsbury.
To me, though, when I'm hiring a head coach for the Jets, we're talking about the bridge. I'm thinking next year they're going to have a rookie quarterback after the coach gets settled for a year, and I want the right minds in place.
When you say next year, you mean a year after.
So they're going to play a year next year with Taylor, Rodgers, whoever.
Then
I think at this time next year we're going to be talking about the Jets in the draft and a quarterback.
Right.
And to me, I want a guy in place that's going to help that quarterback.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Kingsbury will do that.
Yeah.
He's good at helping those young quarterbacks.
He is. There's a kid out there. I love this kid, by the way, you won't have to draft in the first round. I love the kid from Syracuse. What's his name?
McCord?
Kyle McCord.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty good, man. He can throw the ball. Where was he? At Ohio State before, right? Wasn't he Ohio State before?
I feel like all those guys made their way through Ohio State.
It's unbelievable.
Quinn Ewers, he was at Ohio State. Just think,
if you were playing now, you'd been going to Virginia, you'd been wound up in, Alabama,
Ole Miss,
somewhere like that. U.S., right. Right,
I have to go do a stint on the West Coast so I can enjoy the good weather.
Yeah, McCord's from Jersey. He went to Ohio State first.
Right, and pay you a couple mil out of the NIL and all of that. You'd be good to go. There's no doubt about it. But my feeling is, if you bring in a veteran coach, which I think it's going to be, has to be in my mind, maybe he's going to say, "Look, I want to win next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my chances with Rodgers for another year."
Yeah,
because there is talent on this team. Straighten out Garrett Wilson. You know, you got some young guys on the offensive line. I know Fasten, who's got hurt. I mean, you saw the guy, Mitchell, and the other guy, Warren, just killed him yesterday.
Right.
I mean, Mitchell missing that block on Espinosa coming off the edge.
Fasten, who's going to be a player, though.
Right.
That's a hit.
No, Fasten, who I like. I like Fasten, who I like the center. I think we got Vera Tucker's good. We got some guys on the offensive line. You know, defense needs to be fixed.
Right.
I mean, and how about Swarzkowski? I got to say this about this guy. Because to me, he's the most overrated player in the league.
I was going to ask you about Sauce. Because, okay. Well, actually, both of those two young guys. Because Garrett's talking about not wanting
Garrett's
to be there.
Garrett's got to come back. I think if Garrett, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think if Garrett gets in a situation where he starts winning, he's happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He hates losing.
Right.
Right. He came from a school where he just won all the time.
Never lost.
And so he hates the fact that nothing is working the way it should be, even if he's having individual success. But the Sauce thing was interesting to me because he basically said, guys, quit.
And he didn't play the second half, Teague.
Yeah, so he quit.
What are you talking about? When I heard that, that's exactly where I'm going. When I heard that after the game, this guy's saying guys quit on the team, and you didn't play the second half. The hell are you kidding, bro?
You're right.
He needs a stick up his rear end. I'm telling you, a guy like Rex to me, a guy like Vrabel, a guy like Flores would put that stick right up his rear end.
Right, they handle that. They handle that the way that it needs to be handled. Yep. So you're not getting these nonsensical
Another guy that's been a very disappointing player for them this year is Quinnen Williams. I mean, he has not played up to what the talent level would suggest.
Yeah. No, you were talking about him being a top five D tackle in the league last year. And it just
he's no like, Dexter Lawrence, bro, I can tell you that.
No, he's not at all, Joe. Joe, as it stands right now, teams you think end up in the Super Bowl / who do you want in the Super Bowl?
The Chiefs are winning again. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are going to be the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls. I don't see anybody going in. I don't care about Buffalo, Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
I agree.
I don't care if they have
to go through Kansas City, which now they do.
Yeah, you're not beating them in Kansas City.
The world will think Buffalo or Baltimore, or they'll try to will them to win that game. Right. The Chiefs are going to win that game.
And here's the thing about the Chiefs. You know, slowly the guys are getting, Pacheco's back. Yep. They got DeAndre Hopkins now. You know, the offense has come. But their defense is fabulous.
Spags is a great coach.
Spagnuolo's become the new modern age Bill Belichick as far as the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's on that level now. And that team defensively, they are tremendous.
Right. It keeps them in games. That's why they win all these close one-score games.
No question.
You have a good defense, you can win bad games, bad offensive games. And,
so I think
and have a quarterback that can figure it out.
Yep.
And that's
I think
what
they're
happens.
Winning again. I really do. And as far as the NFC, you know what? I mean, look, I kind of lean toward the Lions, but
a lot of injuries now.
Yeah, you can't dismiss Minnesota.
Well, there's three teams. It's the Lions, it's the Eagles, and it's the Vikings.
Right.
I kind of think the Rams are going to be live and dangerous
in
the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with Sean there. I wouldn't discount the Rams. I really, you know, they won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They
coach and quarterback,
win.
I'll take in any of those matchups.
Right. They got two outstanding wide receivers. Yeah. The defense probably a little better than you think.
Remember, they were banged up early in the year. Nakua was out. Cup's not even getting usage. Kyron Williams, a great running back. I'm kind of in on them. And now, Joe, you're going to be a lot like me on New Year's Day with the three college football games?
Unless there is a outside possibility that we could play golf on New Year's Day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't looked ahead. I thought it was going to get very cold.
Joe doesn't care.
It was supposed to be in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
And tomorrow, too. You could have played today, but it was really nothing open today. There is a couple golf courses open tomorrow. We're going to see if we can do that tomorrow. The Arizona State-Texas game does nothing for me.
True.
I'm all over, because Texas is going to kill Arizona State. I'm all over the Oregon-Ohio State game, and I'm all over Georgia and Notre Dame. But that game's not going to start till 9:30 that game.
Well, they say 8:45 every year. Every year that game kicks at about 9 o'clock, and it's the one night of the year where people are exhausted. You're at the end of a holiday time off. You're up till midnight the night before. We're working afternoon drive, so we're fine, but that's a tough one for people to stay up for. I agree.
Yeah, you're not working New Year's Day, though, right?
God, no. No. Now, if the Mets sign Alonzo, will Evan try to call us? Yes, but we're not.
I'm concerned about it, I have to tell you. I'm concerned that, I hear about the Giants now. Apparently, the Mets will up for 3 years,
$90
million.
Talking about Alonzo now, by the way.
But wouldn't you feel, this is the thing, Joe.
I'm concerned about it.
I'm Pete Alonzo, forget, whether the Mets should sign him or shouldn't sign him. At some point, aren't you offended?
If you're Pete Alonzo.
If you're Pete Alonzo.
I mean,
you have been the
$30 million a year, 3 years. I mean, is that offensive? I mean, I don't know. Is it, Tiki? I think that
makes sense.
But because
it's an overpay for what his value is, right? Because he's probably a 25.
Well, he's more valuable to my team than any.
Right. But he's probably on the open market a $25 million guy. So if you're going to give him three for 30, you're overpaying him, And if he's great, then you'll figure it out afterwards, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Or he moves into that DH role fully at 35, going on 36. Then it's a different, like, you put the team in a good position to do right by you.
All I'm saying is Uncle Stevie just showed the world he has more money than that. I'm not telling you to pay Pete Alonso a blank check.
No,
but if I'm Pete Alonso, there's got to be a little personal pride of, you know, you have no problem spending money on Soto. You couldn't just take care of me.
But Juan Soto's Juan Soto.
I understand that, but I'm supposed to be Mr. Met. You're Mr. Met owner, and you've left me to dangle like I'm some kind of wart on your skin.
Well, look, the fan base wants him, Sean. I can tell you that. I mean,
they should.
I certainly do. I mean, I think I speak for him. I know Evan does. I certainly want it back. So, but I, you know, you hear about the Giants. I mean, I'm concerned. The longer it goes, the more concerned I am. But before I let you guys go, because I got to ask both of you guys now. Okay, so the Giants win this game yesterday. Out of nowhere. By the way, Malik Nabers is phenomenal.
He's great. Ridiculous.
By next year, he's the best receiver in the league if he's not already. But I mean, he's unbelievable. Giants win this game. They drop from the number one pick. They drop to four. By the way, how about this, guys?
Yeah.
How about the fact that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter all play in these meaningless bowl games?
I said that earlier.
Yeah, we were talking
about
that
earlier. Shows me a lot.
Joe, a lot of people are killing Shedeur Sanders for his performance in that game.
So
and
what?
I said he went out there and freaking played for his teammates. That shows me more than actual ability on the field.
Who cares if he stunk? It doesn't matter. I mean, to me, the fact that he was out there, I mean, I know Ward only played a half, but at least he was out there for a half. That entices me even more about these guys.
Right. And Sanders wore Giants cleats in the game.
Did he?
Yeah, yes,
he did.
You didn't know that? Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
He wore cleats with the Giants logo on.
Red Giant cleats.
Yeah. All right, so where are you now? Now, New England has the number one pick. They don't need a quarterback.
No. Okay?
Correct.
Right.
Okay,
if they get it, you can trade with them.
Right.
But the other two teams, to me, Tennessee and Cleveland, need a quarterback. Now, they can tell me all day about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. Or if I was the Cleveland Browns, because you know, just like everybody knows, they're desperate to move on from him.
Yeah.
But he has a no-trade clause, right? So they can't trade him.
Right.
If you're two, let's say that the Cleveland Browns are two, you draft the quarterback, and you basically tell him, we're going to play this young quarterback. We're done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you force him to waive his no trade, and you try to trade him. Right? That's how you get rid of him quickly, as opposed to waiting for 2 years for the cap hit, the dead cap hit, to be manageable and then cutting him. I think you draft a quarterback and say, because they need a quarterback.
Right?
Oh, God.
Really?
Right? Of course.
I mean, Jameis is bad. Dorian Thompson Robinson is bad.
Right.
I forget who the other kid is. Obviously, what's his name is hurt. Deshaun Watson's coming off an Achilles injury.
He's always hurt.
So you draft a quarterback and basically tell Deshaun Watson, hey, we're done with you.
Yeah.
Right. And look, and that's where the Giants are going to be screwed. If those two teams are in front of them, I think they are going to take the quarterback. But, Joe, like we pointed out earlier, the Titans this week facing Texans backups, the Titans are favored in the game. They could easily win that game if it was the Texans starters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And New England playing Buffalo this week. Buffalo's not going to be playing anybody. New England could win that game. The Giants could easily wake up a week from today picking number two overall behind Cleveland. And that may not be the worst place to be if Cleveland makes the call on the quarterback and the Giants just sit back like what happened with Stroud, what happened with Jaden Daniels, and go, okay, we'll take the next
guy. We'll take
and
the other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and Stroud turned out to be, well, although Bryce Young has played a lot better.
Right.
I mean, I have to say. But, I mean, right now, at this point, Stroud is better. I don't love Houston. They're very...
No, I agree.
Yeah. The offensive line is bad.
My point is, I'm not happy as a Giant fan today that they've put themselves in this spot, but I don't think it's the end of the world yet. There's a good chance they still end up with one of these quarterbacks.
Okay, let's say it stays the way it is.
Oof.
You know, New England, to me, could take Travis Hunter, number one. I mean,
why not? Go get a great player.
Right. I mean, I don't think, you know, absolutely. So let's say that the two quarterbacks are gone. What did the Giants do it for? If you sit there.
There's a couple of linemen. I mean, look, they need depth on their offensive line.
Right.
I know we've talked about this ad nauseum because it feels like they've drafted O linemen every single year, and very few of them have panned out. But they need offensive linemen, so that's one thing you can do. Or you trade down.
Yeah, I tell you right now, if they're sitting at four and they don't have a trade partner, I'm taking Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, and I'm getting myself a lockdown number one corner.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think outside of Travis Hunter, I think he's the best player in the draft, period.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that would cover up a major, major hole the Giants have on their roster.
Now, let me ask you this, guys, both of you. Do Dable and Shane come back?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so.
Yesterday. Joe, I made this point to Tiki earlier. If you were going to fire Brian Dable, Why wouldn't you have done it already? Now you just allowed him to go coach his ass off trying to think he's playing for coaching for his job and win a game. If you're now going to turn around and fire him after winning that game yesterday, why would you have put him in a position where he, you know, had to coach his ass off to win a game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's backwards to me. So, yeah. To me, I think they stay. I think they're going to be desperate to go trade up for a quarterback if they aren't in that spot, and I think that's the position the Giants are going to be in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, anything can happen. Do they play Saquon this week to try to break Eric Dickerson's record?
Let's pray they do.
What do you think? Teak, what do you think about
that? It's only 100 yards.
Yeah. Teaky's on the call of that game, by the way.
Calling that game.
Oh, you're doing that game?
Yeah. So I'm calling that game with Andrew and AJ and Jason McCourty. So
that's an early game.
It's an early game.
1 o'clock.
Early. Right. So we'll go down Saturday.
How about the Jet game is 4:25?
Because of the Dolphins.
Because of the Dolphins. I mean, they put them on the same time as the Denver game. No, I get that. I understand.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see with that. But yeah, so you're actually doing the game, huh?
I am.
So Tiki could be in the building for Saquon to break the record. And Giant fans, please.
Against the Giants, no less.
But, Joe, we're begging Sirianni and Saquon to do that.
No,
we want to lose the game.
No, I get that.
I don't know if they're going to, though.
The Eagles are such pigs.
What if he sprains an ankle and he misses the wild card route?
That could be the most Philly thing ever. Sirianni getting killed because he played him for the record and then he gets hurt.
Eric Dickerson. Remember one thing. Eric Dickerson did it in a 16-game season, too.
So, you're right. Correct. Mean, but right. Dickerson, for this point, had more carries than Saquon, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a different game.
We can't
even compare.
Exactly.
And by the way, OJ did it in 14.
Right.
Yes, against my team. By the way, in 1973, in the snow at Shea Stadium against my football team. So I just want to let you know about that, team.
Let it go, Joe.
I don't think I knew that.
I let nothing go, bro.
I could have guessed that he did it against you guys, though.
Oh, my God. You can't make it up.
Joe, we hope the weather's good enough to play golf.
Yes.
Obviously.
Happy New Year, bro.
And Happy New Year.
You know, we got to, by the way, Tiki, at some point next year, once we get into the golf season, we got to play, bro.
Let's do it.
We got to definitely get together and play somewhere.
Most certainly.
You know, I'll
plenty
come
of
down
places
to you.
Around me.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. I mean, I'll set something up. Whatever you want to do, we got to get out with the. I guess your brother's down in Florida, right?
He is, but he comes up every now and then.
Does he?
He'll kick our ass though, Joe. He's not. I don't care. He's not fun to play with.
I'm not worried about getting my ass kicked. I just go out there. I know what I can do, and I hold my own, Teak. That's all I can tell you.
You know what? That should be Bleacher Report and TNT's next version of the match: the Barber Brothers versus the Beningos.
Yeah,
Terry and Joe.
My wife will be more, Terry will be more than happy to get out there with you guys. I can tell you, she would love every second of it.
I love it, Joe. All right? God bless.
Hey guys,
we love you.
Happy New Year. God bless, guys. Thank you so much.
Happy
be well.
New Year.
Be good, Joe.
Take care, Joe.
All right, babe.
Joe Beningo in his usual weekly spot. Joe be another one that doesn't stay up till midnight on New Year's.
It's hard to stay up late, though.
Don't you feel obligated?
Well, because you go to a party, and the party starts at like 8. And then you're having a couple drinks, and then after a while, you just get bored.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right, I'm ready to go.
The key is.
And then your kids are now necessarily with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're not going to go hang out on New Year's without your kids.
No, I agree. It's weird.
And so your kids are young, so they're going to be fading.
Oh, no doubt. They've already been
9:30, 10 o'clock.
We're going to see how far we could push them. But here's the thing. 12:05, you get out of the house party. You know, the days just stay until 2, 3. That's what kills you. You know, if you get in bed by 12:30, so what? You sleep 7 hours, you're fine. It's a normal day.
Right. I'd rather just kind of wake up in the 11:55 and be like, oh, it's
I'd have
Happy New Year, honey.
I got to see the New Year happen.
Love you. Good night.
Unbelievable.
Go back to sleep.
Unbelievable.
BC is out back on the fan. 888-808-1019, the number call. We have a ton to get to today. Just scratching the surface here with the Jets this first hour so far. We'll continue with the calls. But we didn't talk about last week or 2 weeks ago whenever we were back, BT, before we left. The Enigma series, whatever you want to call it, the show on Netflix about Aaron Rodgers. We did text about it, though, off the air. I watched it. I loved it. I don't know if would you say that I've been a bigger fan of Rodgers personally than you?
I think you probably have verbalized it a little bit more, but I've always liked Rodgers.
And did you read the book? Remember we had
excerpts.
You know,
okay, I still have it in my office. I've jumped through some certain stuff.
Now I liked Rodgers before this. I read the book or listened to the book from Ian O'Connor. Loved him even more. And then I watched Enigma, and it kind of solidified what I thought. I thought you got a good look into Aaron Rodgers, the person. Would you come away with from that?
I like him even more than I used to. I think that Aaron Rodgers, not for everybody, I get that. He's very eclectic. Some of the things he does and even said this are viewed as alternative lifestyle. things, whether it's religion, whether it's medicinal purposes. I like Rodgers. Now, the one thing, and I don't know that I needed to see this, and I don't even know if I, on some level, maybe thought that I needed to see this and really didn't. I don't know, but when it was presented to me during Enigma, it hit me in a good spot. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Like, when you watch somebody from a distance, like we did Rodgers all those years, be an all-time legend, and then he comes here, you know, there was a thought because nobody really probably wanted him based on the age, and he wasn't great the last season in Green Bay. I think a lot of people thought that he was using the Jets like, all right, the Jets are desperate. I've got the New York stage. I can increase my brand, whatever that might be. And they're a bunch of suckers. They need a quarterback. Let me take advantage of them. Let me go to the Jets, right? And I don't know that I really believe that, but I do think that some and some did. And when I saw him rehabbing, like the other stuff was interesting, don't get me wrong. But when I saw him rehabbing, and I know that it's three series and he can piece together a Rocky montage from us, hell, at this age still.
Yeah, right.
And drop a soundtrack to it. It's going to look inspiring. I was really moved, and I think it reminded me how much he loves football.
Bingo. He loves the game. And that's something that last year he was almost made fun of for.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are like, oh, you want to come back. It's all about the attention. No, he wants to play.
Yep.
If you paid attention over the years, you could see that. And that's why I don't think he's going to retire. I think that he's going to take his time. And even that, he said the right thing. Like,
yes.
I'm too close to it right now. I can't make a decision where I'm fatigued mentally. I'm beat up. All the rehab, which, by the way, I thought was an excellent point that I never even thought about before. The rehab all last season into the offseason to get ready for this year took a toll on him. And at his age, like, that's a lot to ask.
Well, he never had a natural respite.
Yeah, right. So it's a lot to ask of a player at that age to then just come back and have a terrific season again. So he's going to get a little bit of a breather after Sunday and take some time away now. And he also acknowledges that the Jets are not going to be on that same timeline. Like, the Jets probably going to make a decision a little bit sooner, but Rodgers may want to play. Now, what suitors they'll have out there, who the hell knows? But yes, that's why I love Rodgers, because he loves the game. He wants to play. He wants to win. He's been like that forever.
I mean, just going from high school and being overlooked and having to go to a junior college. You know, I mean, it's, you know, Peyton Manning, first overall pick. And, you know, even Montana was a middle round pick. But he played at Notre Dame. And Tom Brady, barely drafted. Got a full ride to Michigan. Like, this guy had to go to a junior college that nobody really knew about. And he was just amazing. He's an amazing player. Unfortunately for a Jet fan, you got him too late. Listen, I know a lot of people don't like Rodgers, but I do want to read one thing, not from the Enigma, but for the press conference. Yeah. It's pretty quick. He said he was asked to reflect on the last 2 years. Now, you and I basically started the show reflecting on these last 2 years. Here's his reflection, what it means to him. He says, quote, "And if you still don't like him after this, that's okay. That's up to you. I mean, gratitude, quote, honestly, it's been the best 2 years of my life. Now, that's a perspective adjustment that happened at some point during the rehab process last year. Just the excitement, falling back in love with the game, getting to know these guys in here, getting to know how great the men and women that work here are. It's been a lot of fun. Obviously, on the field, it's been very short of expectations, no doubt. This game is more than just that. This game is also about relationships," end quote. If you strip away the Kennedy connection for some of you, which obviously bothers you, the 100%. Immunization or the
100%.
Like, if you just judge him on what he says and really what he does, Aaron Rodgers is a good dude, man.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
Who gets it and is comfortable with himself. I've never done, like, drugs in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank God.
Yeah, well, I know.
Imagine this guy on drugs. Imagine this guy took shrooms.
So then why would I love a person who's doing ayahuasca or whatever? He's, like, to me, that's foreign, beyond foreign, but he's doing it himself, and he's comfortable in his own skin to do it. The darkness retreats. Like, I'd never do something like that myself, but the fact that he wants to do it, I don't think he's doing it for attention. I think he's doing it because he wants to push himself to certain limits, which I respect that he's doing that. All those things that he puts himself out there for that other people are like, oh, what a lunatic. Oh, what a nut job, this and that.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with it, but that's him. And he's comfortable enough to put it out there. I've always respected that and loved that about Aaron Rodgers.
You know, listen, I think that speaking for myself here, I'm certainly not going to overstate it. I think I'm fairly intellectually curious.
Right.
Like, I like to follow politics. I like to follow the economy. I like to, you know, world travel and geography. I'm not saying I'm brilliant. I'm certainly not. But I'm fairly intellectually curious. But I like to read, not intellectually curious enough to follow some of the things that he follows. Yeah. Okay, medicine that goes back thousands of years, or art that goes back thousands. Like, that just, some civilizations, like, I don't have the bandwidth to pursue that. I admit that. I don't. But he does. And I'm not going to shame him for that. I mean, gee. Now, he's not married. He doesn't have any children to tend to. And when you have that much free time, it's a little bit easier to do that, to go out and pursue different aspects of life. But I'll tell you what, watching that, I'm never going to the depths that I don't have the money to do it. I don't have the interest to do it. But I'll tell you what, watching the documentary, I remember saying to myself, and this is definitely one of my resolutions without getting too personal, there are things that I want to change about me, honestly, as a person, as a man, as a husband, as a father, all right? And I'm going to pursue it differently, but that opened up a little part of my brain that I did not know would be opened up prior to watching that.
I love that you said that, because I do think if people actually went into whatever, reading the book from Ian O'Connor, watching Enigma, listening to Rogers, if they went in with open mind, you can learn from him. And I have, even little things you take from certain things. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's an interesting point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Actually, there was one point, and this is something stupid, but I used to wear big, bulky headphones.
No, I remember when you used to wear the white ones. Yeah, I remember seeing those.
I loved hearing myself loud, and I just felt like I was on whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it was during Hard Knocks, and I was watching him, and he was ripping on one of his teammates. And I'm like, oh, you wear those things? They're no good for your ears. Like, keeping all this, just something like that. And it made me change. Now, that's a little thing. It's not going
to
educate anybody.
Yeah, but he's probably done the research to actually prove that, you know,
And it actually does make sense. Like, why would you have those big, loud things keeping sound in? It's not good for ears. Anyway, point is, Rogers is a smart dude. I'm not saying, like, he's the smartest guy in the room.
No, he is a smart guy.
Well, very smart. But you could, if you open your mind to it, instead of just being like, oh, he's different than I am, he's weird and doing it for attention. No, listen to him and you will learn. Now, with all that being said, we care about how he performs on the football field. I still believe in him. I still believe in his heart. I still believe in his passion, his desire. And while I know that his ability, certainly this year, was nowhere near what you would expect, maybe it was in part because of the injury leading into the rehab.
Yep.
No real break coming right in the year. The age, yes, but I would give him, I think Rodgers, wherever he goes, will be an asset. I would give him one more chance if I'm the Jets.
Well, it came across in the documentary. He's definitely more open to being a bit of a mentor. He spoke about that with Jordan Love, and obviously went out to Hattiesburg to see Brett Favre. Really, honestly, if you guys have, even if you hate Rodgers going into it, very interesting.
How about the way Favre treated him,
like in distant,
and then he made sure, and even though he acknowledged, he still has a good relationship with Favre, but he acknowledged that it wasn't great, but still also like understanding why Favre maybe felt like that. But he learned from it and was better to Jordan Love
and Zach
because
Wilson.
Of that. And Zach Wilson.
Agreed, 100%. So I think that for me, this is what I said before break, I'm going to let the new regime make the determination. I'm not going to clamor and scream and shout, I want Rodgers back. And I'm not going to do the opposite. I'm going to see what kind of offense they're going to try to install, who the coach is. I think that he's smart enough to know, and he's humbled enough to know at this point, Rodgers, that even if he is back, he's going to have no juice in the decision-making process. I understand that. You know, listen, before the game against the Buffalo Bills last week, which was just atrocious by everybody, 16 penalties for 120 yards. He fumbled. I mean, he missed the tight end Yaboa when he threw it in his shoes, and he probably could have run it or had a wide open touch. He did not play well that game, but before that game, in the previous eight, Aaron Rodgers threw 14 touchdowns and had one interception. You could go, now I don't know this to be 100% true, but I would almost venture to guarantee whether it's Todd, whether it's Vinny, whether it's Chad, even, you know, Fitzpatrick, who had a very good statistical year back in 2015. Take any Jet quarterback. I don't think anybody put up in eight games, 14 touchdowns and one pick. So as, quote unquote, as bad as he's been this year, has he really been that bad?
No.
Yeah, just no.
And he's got something to prove. I understand why people would want to move on. I understand why the Jets might.
Yeah.
For me, I'm giving it one more go with a real head coach.
Yep.
Seeing if Rodgers has one more
good year left in the tank.
To the point where you'd be disappointed if he's not back? Because you heard what I'd say. Like, if the new regime doesn't want him, I'm okay with that.
Well, disappointed is different than yelling and screaming the other way. Like, I would say, I want him back, but if they let him go, I can't kick and scream and say you made a huge mistake. I do think it would be a mistake. Now, remember, I do want him back under the circumstance that he's going to mentor the next quarterback. And we haven't even talked about it. We get to the Giants and bring them into the conversation as well next. But the Jets might be having a top pick to a point where they could start thinking about trading up or taking a quarterback. And I want Rodgers to be the mentor to that next quarterback, thinking that you could win some games with him next year, maybe make the playoffs, while also building for the future.
All right. McMonagle and McPherson back with you here on The Fan, 888-808-1019, filling in for Evan and Tiki this afternoon. Talked a lot about the Giants, and we still will, because, listen, we got to... Keith and I both think that the regime is safe, that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are both coming back, but let's be honest, both franchises do have decisions to make at the end of this year. The Jets have already made their decision on what they'll do, and obviously now they're looking at coaching candidates, which is, again, we talk about the Trinity, you were talking about it before. Again, they're going about it in a backwards way. I think the coach is the more, like, with this particular team right now, you can argue the coach is as important as the GM. The GM is always, you know, running the team. But I think this particular team in this particular situation, depending on what they do, certainly if they bring back Aaron Rodgers and you got to, like, smooth over the roster, figure out how to get Garrett Wilson happy, like, there's a lot to do with this head coach. But still, without a head coach, without a GM in place, they are now interviewing different head coaching possibilities. And Ron Rivera's name has come up here, and I just, like, I don't know. We talk about hockey and retreads as much, and I don't want to call Ron Rivera a retread. He had a very successful run in Carolina, not so much in Washington. You know, was he, you know, in a tough situation with a miserable owner and a miserable franchise there? Yeah, he was. But I don't know if Ron Rivera, I understand the fear and trepidation of going to a first-time head coach. It has not worked well for the New York Jets. And other than Ben Johnson, is there that, like, as he seems to be the name that anyone would go to, mm-hmm. he's been that successful. And you even saw plays last night that just, like, he is an incredible offensive coordinator, has done an incredible job with that Lions offense. He's the one guy that you probably would forego any fears of first-time coordinator-type hire. So I understand you're looking at more of the experienced NFL head coach, but Riverboat Ron, that is not, as respected as he is throughout the league, that does not excite me as a New York Jets fan. Would you consider Ron Rivera a good hire for the New York Jets right now?
No, and I mean, shout out to Ron Rivera. He had some success in his career, and he's getting up there in age. I don't think he's a real coaching candidate. I think he's just somebody that you interview right now because you can. He's not currently coaching in the NFL. And what I feel like the 33rd team, Woody Johnson, and the Jets are doing, they're collecting data points. Yeah. They are gathering intel. They didn't want to interview Bill Belichick, and I'm like, why not interview Bill Belichick to pick his brain to see? I would have led him along. I would have led him down this road of thinking that you're the guy and then would have pulled the rug from under him. So even with Rex Ryan, I joked about John Gruden. Why not interview these former head coaches and ask them, what would you do to fix the team?
Just to get as much information as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Rex Ryan especially, what did you do that worked? What do you see with this Jets team that, you know, doesn't resemble the Jets teams that you've had? Yeah. I try and collect all the information that I can from these guys and then apply it to the search that's going to happen in a couple weeks when we get to Black Monday, you know, when the season's actually over and, you know, you can interview a Brian Flores or a Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because there are players, coaches right now who are still obviously coaching and they're unable to interview, so you're hearing names like this.
And
you're
certainly Vrabel the best now, ones, because they're going to the playoffs.
Contract has run out with Cleveland, so he's able to... Was it Cleveland? When I think...
Yeah, he's with the Browns. Yeah. He's like a player personnel.
Yeah, I don't know why it just sounded wrong when it came out of my mouth.
Ohio,
but I think his contract's run out, so they're going to be able to interview him coming up shortly if he's open for the job. But, like, yeah, Ron Rivera would be a name that would fall short for me as someone to come and lead this Jet team, because I would want someone who I feel is... You know, at the beginning point of this, I don't want, like, how many years is Ron Rivera going to do it? And I don't want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a bridge head coach.
Yeah, exactly. I want someone who's going to come in here and run this thing and really,
you know, bring a gravitas. I don't think, as well as he's respected, I don't think he has that gravitas. I either want the hotshot offensive guy who's going to come in here and change the offense, or I want a absolute stud leader. And I don't know if I view Ron Rivera as that. So, I mean, we'll see. The Jets are in a tricky spot, though, because, and, you know, it's funny, too, with the Jets, too. Everyone's focused on the wrong thing. Like, I got a real kick out of, like, this is just my problem with fans in general, because obviously this Jet coaching hire, I think, is critical moving forward here. But the current head coach is not part of it. And we still get so mad at different, like, it's
quotes.
Why are we hung up?
He's getting zero consideration for the head coaching job. Who cares what he says?
It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. We all know the disaster that trade has been. Like, we know Hassan Reddick is coming here. He's been brutally bad. The entire defense has been bad since they fired the coach. But he held out. It was a disastrous trade. He's come here. He's got one sack. He's got two quarterback hits. Like, it's been a disaster.
He's unselfish. And you should know that about him, Chris. If you had any
it's
type
ridiculous.
Of predisposition well, about him or
I know.
His teammates, he's the but most unselfish guy he's ever been around.
But, like, I see so many people mad about it. I heard Moose yelling about it, and I understand it's a ridiculous statement. And what's funny is that when he was brought into, part of the reasoning was that we need to hold people accountable. Our new favorite word, accountable, accountability. We got to hold people accountable. And Ulbrich was going to come in here and actually hold people accountable. The quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, was when Saleh talked about the cadence might have to change or whatever. Mm-hmm. What was Rodgers' response? Not the cadence doesn't need to change. The accountability needs
to
change.
Offensive lineman.
Yeah, right. We need to be more accountable.
Water.
Right. So the idea was he was going to come in and hold people accountable. I think what we're learning in the NFL, and really in all professional sports, coaches aren't going to come in and just suddenly, like, roll over these teams the way they might have done in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
You can't.
The relationship, the players, everything has changed about how professional athletes handle business in today's atmosphere.
Jeff Ulbrich wants another job.
Absolutely.
He's done here.
He's not going to bash players publicly.
Because he might run into them at the next destination.
Or just the idea that, you know, when you start talking about hiring a head coach or whatever, coordinator, I don't know if he's got a good relationship with his players, he's bashing them publicly in press conferences. Like, I don't know is the statement silly? Should he have not said anything rather than say,
listen,
the guy who held out all year and has been awful is one of the more selfless players I've ever coached? Yes, it's absurd. The comment jumps out to me as stupidity and a hard sell and insulting our intelligence. But at the same time, who cares? Why do we get hung up on what coaches say in the postgame?
Because you can't care about the game. They were getting smacked. There's nothing to say about the game. If we want to go back to Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions, you know, pointing at Yeboah, go more straight across the field, not up across the field. Make a better throw. If I'm Jeff Ulbrich, right, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone else. Because we could point the finger at you. You have no idea what to do as a coach to win a game, to call timeout, win the challenge. So he has no leg to stand on as far as criticizing players. He can't even come out and say, like, yeah, some guys seem checked out after Sauce Gardner comes out and says, Sauce Gardner checked out.
Yeah.
Sauce, you didn't play the second half. And I would take your word for it, being a player, looking at other players. There were some disgruntled players on the sideline. Like, when Sauce comes out to say, yeah, you know, we're not making the playoffs, some guys are checked out, Jeff Ulbrich won't even echo that.
Yeah. No. I think we're learning. As
didn't see it on the tape.
These coaches aren't going to admit
stuff
like this.
Who didn't see it on the tape? They were down 33-0.
But, like, why do we care about this? Like, the idea that the coach publicly saying it, like, this just harkens back to all the different issues that I have with people's reactions to head coaches or what we expect from head coaches. Like, the idea that a coach would say, like, we don't know what is said behind closed doors. The idea that publicly you have to alienate guys, today's day and age, that might have been a motivator for players in past years. It doesn't, these guys making this kind of contract and this kind of standing inside an organization, like, whatever you say inside the room, fine. And you want to, you know, give guys less snaps or whatever, fine. But to publicly come out and shame these guys, it doesn't work. Nobody does it anymore. And yet the fan base still expects it on a, and it's not just Ulbrich. It's what, he's got to watch the tape. Or like we were killing Brian Daboll for all the stuff he's saying postgame. Obviously, you're killing my guy, you know, our guy, Aaron Boone, for everything he says in the postgame.
Yeah,
no, of course, because that's what it is. It's you have to kill these players publicly. Otherwise, there's no accountability. And it's just, it's the same crap we hear, but it's just, it makes me laugh. As the Jets clearly need a new head coach, they're going to start to obviously do more of these interviews. And as the season ends on Black Monday, they'll have more of these names. I would think Ron Rivera would be an underwhelming name. I don't think the Jets should go anywhere near Riverboat Ron. I think they need someone of, you know, that would be a failing. If they end up hiring Ron Rivera, it means they were spurned by how many different people?
They're looking like for experience. Yeah. That would be the only reason. Like, right. All right, okay.
Go get Vrabel. That's the guy you want to bring in here, absolutely. And for the Giants, I think they're safe, and I think they should be. I think what you saw on this game on Sunday, the one thing I guess you could take out of it, I certainly don't want to sing Brian Daboll's praises in how he played that game and how the team played the game, but if you give him a quarterback and you get good quarterback play, he's never had it. He's never had it. And it's time we actually give this guy ability at the quarterback position and see what he could do with it. And moving on from him and joining the one of the how many different teams now, looking for another head coach, looking for another GM. Like, it's just, I don't see any other way than going forward and plugging away with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and seeing if you could turn this thing around.
No, that's the only thing left to do. As we talked last week about not complicating this, we were unsure about that. No. Yeah, I'm sure now. You let those guys change your draft position. You let them go out there and win that game like that. I think they're all in lockstep. They got one more game to lose. They might win it. And even if they do win it, they have no fear of being the eighth pick in the draft and trying to figure out their way. I just fear that you're not going to get the quarterback that you so desperately need to pair with this head coach. And like you said, to give him ability. Like, now you have Tyrone Tracy in the backfield behind whoever plays quarterback. Now you have Malik Nabers as the number one receiver. You have parts of an offensive line as well.
Right.
I think Illuminor likes being here and
definitely does.
Speaking up and being like a leader here. Andrew Thomas, you hope can stay healthy next year. John Michael Schmidt, I know this kid has had a rough go at it, but they might not give up on him right away. You have Runyon, you have pieces of an offensive line. I just see the offense being able to come together more. Theo Johnson will be back next year as your starting tight end.
Yeah.
You're a quarterback away from at least looking at offense, being like, we can compete with this offense.
No doubt. They are quarterback. They are good quarterback play away from having an offense that can score you 30 points every once in a while, which is just, I mean, like, that's
all you need. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs can't do it, and they win.
I know. 888-808-1019. Opens it up to the Jets a little bit, who just continue to be an absolute dumpster fire. I still think the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson can be salvaged if you decide to bring back Aaron Rodgers. I think they need a coach in that room in the worst way, and Riverboat Ron would not be my first choice. Let's go to Annabelle in Bridgeport. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year to you. How are you, buddy?
Okay, I'm doing good. Hope everything is good. I got a point on Peter Alonso.
Okay.
Peter Alonso was offered a contract by the New York Mets, and he declined it, and then he changed to Scott Boras. When he did that, me as a Mets fan, I said, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be, I mean, Scott Boras is the scariest agent in Major League Baseball.
Why are we afraid of agents?
Because let me tell you, Scott Boras tried to get you the highest contract.
Baseball's Bond villain, I know.
Okay, the point that I want to make is I remember, I don't know if you guys remember Carlos Gonzalez played for the Colorado Rockies?
Sure, sweet swing.
Yeah.
Cargo.
They offered him a big contract, and he denied it. And at the end of that, he played for Penny.
But we know that. He turned down a contract that he's not going to get back. He's not going to get that offer back. It's going to be less than that. The question is whether or not him and the Mets are going to come to a deal. And so
the only thing that I think is, I hope that Peter Alonso doesn't get into that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's in that
Carlos
situation.
Carlos Gomez's. I'm thinking of, there's a cargo, and then there's Carlos Gomez, who was like a more of a like loud mouth.
I think he meant cargo though, because
he meant cargo. But I'm thinking, where did cargo go after the Rockies?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember.
Like, did he not?
He didn't have much of a career. He had a couple of good years, and then it went down on him quickly. But to Pete Alonso, here's the point of Pete. That's already gone. We know that. That contract's not coming back. Look at the market. There's no market for him. It's completely falling apart. All the teams have got... It's. I would think that the San Francisco Giants have to be desperate to do something. Like, they cannot continue to be the bridesmaid over and over and over and over again. They have lost out to everyone. They have tried to sign every big free agent, and everybody spurns them. They have to get someone, and they have an opportunity right now in Pete Alonso to bring in a home run hitter, bring him on probably a shorter-term deal, and pay him a little bit of money. Like, if they... Right now, the contract that's out on the table for the Mets is 3 years and $90 million. So they've offered him 3 for $30. Like, I would bump that up a little bit if I'm them, just to get a player here. If I need the opt-out, I'll offer him the opt-out. Something just to make a splash if you're the Giants. Get someone to come here. We all know it'll be their second choice, that he'd rather be a Met. But I don't think the Mets are going to budge from that. I heard a lot of news today. I don't think the Mets are looking to sign Pete Alonso. I really don't. We talked about this last week. I don't think it's their be-all, end-all to bring back Pete Alonso. I think they've offered him 3 for $90, and until he proves that he can get better, they are not going to move off that dollar. And even if he does prove that he can get better, I think they'd say, go ahead, take it.
I don't think they are
just waiting the market out. I think they're waiting Pete Alonso out.
The Pete Alonso stuff I'll get to in a minute. I fell down a rabbit hole trying to figure out where Cargo went.
Right.
He had a year with the Cleveland Indians, and then he had some time with the Chicago Cubs, but not really like... Didn't really break through with them. 30 games with the Indians, 15 games with the Cubs. But, I mean, he was all-star with the Rockies. I actually got to meet him back in 2014. Forgot about that guy and what ended up, you know, happening with him. But then there's obviously the other Carlos Gomez, who, you know, he played for Tampa. I think he also played for the Mets. And, you know, he was most famously a Milwaukee Brewer. Anyway, back to Pete Alonso. Yeah, Carlos Gomez wore number 91 with the Mets. It sucks for Pete. I listened to Moose's open, and he was talking about, you know, New Year's and New Year's resolutions and reflecting on the year. And, man, this time of year, I always get sappy. I always get emotional. I always get deep in thought of the year that was, what happened this year, what didn't happen this year, the people we lost this year. I don't know. When they hit that, what's it called, Auld Lang Syne?
Yeah.
When I hear that every year, I'm like, damn, just to think about like going from a year to another year.
Right.
And Pete Alonso, what a year he had in a prove-it year. What a year he didn't have in a year to bet on himself. And he might be kicking himself a little bit, leaving money on the table. But that's a risk that he took. And now, with the Bond villain of baseball, the most feared agent, the evil villain that, you know, Scott Boras is, we saw the league basically tell Scott Boras no last year. There was no way they were going to tell him no with
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto.
Yeah, it's too good
a client. It's just a funny coincidence that the Mets were the ones that got Juan Soto all that money.
Yeah.
And now their guy, Pete Alonso, they gave all that money to Juan Soto. They don't have to give Pete Alonso that. Right. Think about when that offer was out there. Juan Soto was a Yankee. Juan Soto wasn't being bid for yet. Now that money's dried up. It's not there. Yeah. And ultimately, I think Pete Alonso is going to have to decide, do I want to stay here with this team now that has Juan Soto and just, you know, kind of be humble and take the money?
That's the thing.
And it's not, you know, it's not really easy. It's not even humble money. $30 million a year.
No, I know. But it's less. Here's the thing.
It's less than he ever thought he really was going to get.
I heard Moose and he referenced Strawberry. And obviously Strawberry has always regretted going to the Dodgers instead of staying with the Mets. I get it. And Pete wants to be a Met. I don't think there's any doubt. But you got to, like, you're right. It's not bad money. But it's less money than he was offered. This is why it's tough to negotiate with. It's a lot less than what he was offered. So, I mean, he has to go there and say, all right, you offered me this money last year. I know I said no, and I know I tested the market or, you know, bet on myself. I hit the biggest home run of the season, right? I was with you all year. I battled for you.
David Stern didn't say that was a fluke.
I came. You're telling me now I'm worth less than that? You're going to look me in the face and tell me I'm worth less.
No, I don't think he could do it again.
It's one of those things where he just saw them give $765 million to Juan Soto.
Who's not, you know, stepped in the batter's box for the Mets.
They've spent money on, they've offered big contracts to Max Scherzer. They offered big contracts to Justin Verlander, big money.
Giving away suites and clothing allowances.
They offered him a contract
flights.
Last year. He bet on himself, and he has to understand that there is losing that bet. He bet on himself, and he lost it in some ways. But it's hard to go back to the team that you have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in and look them in the face and say, that offer's not back on the table. I'm worth less to you after last year. Like, yeah. That great year we had last year, I hit that big home run. I hit home runs in the postseason. We got to the NLCS. And you're going to tell me I'm less than?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I that's a tough pill
to
swallow.
What Stearns does.
It's easy to just say, hey, you got to come to grips with the reality. Okay, that's an organization. He feels like he put a lot of, he, LFGM, like,
that's
all that.
Past.
Like, I know. I'm not saying, but.
Now it's Soto-matic. Now it's Soto-mania. All
right. Yeah, but that's a bitter pill to swallow.
One night I was on talking about.
And if he's offered the same money or more from someone else.
But who, the market right now?
I think someone's going to step up.
Maybe
and I would think
one
it's
team. And like I said, that'll probably come once we get closer to camp and teams assess what they have in their entire lineup at the position. And then you'll get like a Diamondbacks who went out there and got Jordan Montgomery last minute last year. They regretted it, but they still went and got him. Speaking of the Diamondbacks, for them to get Corbin Burnes, I remember I was on with you last week, and Mark Feinstein reported that Corbin Burnes was looking for a $245 million deal.
Yep.
He came in $35 million less, taking $210 from Arizona and chalked it up to, the taxes. Right. I'm already here.
Yeah.
I want to be on the West Coast. This will do.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to keep waiting. Well, when I talk about Stearns, I vividly remember Corbin Burnes being upset about how arbitration went when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers over a couple $100,000.
Correct.
The difference was like they viewed him at $10 million. He viewed himself at 10.7.
Yep.
And that's how he wanted to get out of Milwaukee. David Stearns has no problem looking at Pete Alonso and the numbers that he put up in the regular season. He wasn't clutch during the regular season.
Right.
He struggled until the very last minute, the last leg, and came through and saying, we believe you're more like what you showed over the course of seven months than the last month of the season. This is the offer. Take it or leave it. And I think
I get it.
I think he's prepared. They've got options. I think he's prepared to move on without Pete Alonso.
I get it. I totally agree with you. But I'm just saying, for Pete Alonso to look at them and go, okay, wait a minute. You know, as an owner, you've done everything you could to support this franchise and do what the fans wanted and be a Met guy. You've built statues. You've made Old Timers Day. You've done everything you can. I was the guy when there wasn't
was
a
DeGrom.
Guy. I was exactly right. And I'm just saying that's...
So was Buck Showalter. Mary Buck missed.
Right. And DeGrom left. And what I'm saying
is... And they kicked Buck Showalter to the curb. They're ready to do the same to Pete.
I don't disagree. My point is, you want Pete to be emotional about something when they have zero interest in being emotional about
it. Yeah.
Like, you want Pete to just go, oh, man, I could leave in my history and this and that, but I go to the owner and say, hey, man, for a couple $1 million more, sorry, Stearns is running the show. Okay, then I'm going to leave. Like, I just think I agree with everything you're saying. That's why I think Pete's going
to
be gone.
To go live in the Bay Area and be a San Francisco Giant, maybe. Those are rumors. Let's see the contract offer. Let's see the deal. Let's see the actual money out there. And this
the worst,
is what
it's
about,
a worse ballpark for a left-handed hitter than a right-handed hitter.
It's
he
not,
can go hit some home runs.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's greener pastures for Pete. I think this Mets team is going to be a contender again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for his legacy and what he's already done in the Mets uniform, it makes sense to stay here. He's been vocal about wanting to stay and be here. I think that no matter what he signs for with the Mets, he's going to have a better year than he had last year. Soto's in the lineup, and it won't be a prove-it year, and he will make more money in New York with the new rebrand that the Mets are under. He will make more money in the next few years being a Met and even taking a little bit less. Where, like, I just think it would be a mistake to leave for $100 million versus $90 million or $110 million an extra. Let's say it's an extra year, then $120 million in an extra year to go play for the San Francisco Giants and get drummed by the Dodgers and the Padres in your division. Might not even be able to get with the Diamondbacks.
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if I think that they're pointing towards a breakup. I think
so too, because Pete Alonso's got to have some pride, and he will, and say, nah, I think I'm worth more than this, but I don't think he wants to do a short-term prove-it deal. I think he wants to be a part of the Mets and continue now with Juan Soto being here. He just wants his respect. He wants his money. He feels like he deserves it and earned it before this year and what he did in the postseason.